Last week we talked about worship again. Hey, there's just as many people on stage right now as there were last week. Okay, this is what it was like. But I loved it because we watched videos. We didn't put the words up there. It was just a different opportunity to worship and relax and reflect. And when I say relax, I don't mean like it's a lot of work to praise and worship, but I meant just doing it in a different way, a different manner. But thank you. But let me tell you, today was good having everybody back. I loved it. It becomes different as well because that becomes a group thing as well up here as well as out there. So last week we talked about worship, and we talked about worship from the heart. And this week's message is true worship. Oh, great. We're going to learn the true value of worship. No, we're going to look at it a little differently. Last week we saw Jesus with a Samaritan woman at the well. And when he ran into her, they had a conversation and an exchange of different things. And she perceived that he was a prophet. And he proceeded to tell her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. There's two different ways to worship, in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And we talked at the end of service, we prayed at the end of service last week, that we would become worshipers. True worshipers, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Why? Because God is looking for us. He desires to be with us. He desires for us to be with Him in truth. We said worship comes from the heart, so our mind is the filter into the heart. Would you not agree? I can put in my heart, but if my mind says something different, it's real hard for this to think or to feel something different. So if worship comes from the heart, then our mind has to be right. Our filter sometimes has to be cleaned out. We read out of Romans that it needs to be renewed. Why? So we're not conformed to this world. And we said if we worship from the heart, two things should be evident in our faith walk. Our words, the way we speak and how we speak and what we speak, and our actions from the abundance of the heart, boom. So what we say and how we say it should be evident if our heart is right. Our actions, how we treat one another, those we know and don't know. How many times have I prayed at the end of service, Lord, help guide our path and direct us this week as we speak and do things to those we know and those we don't know. The Bible tells us don't grow weary from doing good. It says do good. Keep doing it. You'll get your reward. And it tells us to especially do it to those that are of the household of the Lord. Do good. Be good people. We are Christ's ambassadors, His representatives. I was talking to Cindy. I said, I love talking about that because it's a reminder to me that says, I work for Him. I'm His representative. I'm His ambassador. When we have trucks rolling down the road at work, they are giant billboards for the company I work for. When they're cutting people off or gesturing people or their filthy or dirty trucks, they're a poor representation of our company. It's the same with us. And we talked briefly last week where the scripture says defilement comes from within. We walk around and we look all great, but the inside's a mess. Well, what's inside? Our heart and our mind. Now, let me see if I can raise some eyebrows today. As we look at true worship, worship is our expression, hold with me, is our expression of our feelings towards God. Adam, that's not what worship is. I don't know. Worship is our expression of our feelings towards God. That may be a little tough, so let's dig into it. Worship shows a couple different things. What does it show? Worship shows love, obedience, gratitude, trust, joy, faith, love, obedience, gratitude, trust, joy, and faith. Now, that's not an all-inclusive list, please, but those are some of the main components of our worship. If we weren't feeling good towards God today, or feeling good maybe about ourselves today, many people, I just don't feel like worshiping today. What does that mean? I don't feel like it. Our feelings represent our worship. Because the opposite of that, opposite of love, hate, obedience, selfishness, gratitude, ungrateful, trusting, fearful, joy. I wrote down empty. Because if you don't have joy inside, I think we're empty. And then faith. If we don't have faith, we are lost. So I think worship is definitely an expression of our feelings towards God at the moment. Today, maybe not in general, but does God know the difference? We talked last week about divorce a little bit and said, you know, when people are divorced, they give lip service. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. The Bible said, they honored me with their lips, but their hearts were afar. Were far off from me. Divorce is similar. You may hear lip service, but there's nothing connecting the hearts together. It's important that our hearts connect in relationships. What did I say though? Our heart is impacted by our mind. Oh, so we have different things filtering through our mind that is impacting our heart and our connection. It's the same when we worship God. Worship shows our love, obedience, gratitude, trust, joy, and faith in Him. But if our mind is thinking other things and self-centered and self-serving, all of a sudden we don't have those to show towards God. Worship shows our gratitude for the past. Listen carefully. Worship shows our gratitude for the past and our trust for the future. Worship shows our gratitude for the past and our trust for the future. Adam, you don't know my past, so how can you say that? I thought someone might think that. Maybe not in here, but in general. And it's important that we look at that. It takes us a minute to grasp that first thing. Gratitude for the past. Do you know what I've been through? No, but God does. And it's important that He's the one that knows. Once we begin to grasp that idea, listen carefully, grasp the idea of everything He has done for us. The immeasurable love, the immeasurable mercy, the immeasurable sacrifice He gave for us. Oh, you see, now we're back to the wondrous cross and the sacrifice. Oh, and now we're back to communion. This is a cup of the new covenant, which is my blood. And He says, which is shed for you, no matter what your past has been. It is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Most people, no, everyone has that available to them. Once we grasp the idea of everything He's done for us, that's when we're able to start expressing worship. some sort of worship to Him. I've told this story before. When my wife and I were first married, Austin was just born a few months earlier. We were looking to buy a house. We had some things not really looking in favor of us. It was a house on a private road. We really don't lend money on houses that are on a private road. What do we do for that? Do we have to buy the street and name it Dilly Lane? Well, that'd be cute, wouldn't it? I had just started a new job. I'm sure at the time I was probably making like 10 bucks an hour, maybe less. Maybe 11, who knows, but it wasn't much. I thought, they're not going to loan us enough money for this house. We have three children. We also have to provide for. Wow. The city or county said, unless we couldn't get a loan on the house if it was a private road, unless the city or county said we'll maintain that road. Would you guys maintain this road, City of Choctaw? Yes. What? Would you sign a paper stating such? Yes. Boom, got that paper, went to the bank, and there we were, and lo and behold, whatever I was making at the time, and we got our house that we're still in to this day. My wife and I hadn't connected a whole lot about God. We'd gone to church a few times with some friends. She knew my dad was a pastor. That's the extent of our religious conversation. Okay, that was about it. But I'll never forget, I walked out our front porch and we were standing in front of the garage. And I said, you know, God has really done some amazing things for us. We have this beautiful family and these beautiful children. We have this home and a lot of things that should have gone against us in getting that. We were able to get it. And I said, I think we need to find some way to pay Him back. Again, that was my terminology because I didn't have any better terminology. But it goes into our this past Wednesday's Bible study on Wednesday night. Do we have to pray a certain way? God only answers if you lay it out this way. No, He knew where my heart was. I had listened to Christian music and I was listening. I thought, that's my connection right now. And I said, I think we need to find a way to pay Him back. I think we need to find a church somewhere. Oh, our daughter Brittany's going to church up at this Ground Zero place. We've been dropping her off for the past 100 Wednesdays. I was the guy in the parking lot at 7:02 when it was over. Beep, beep. Click, 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 click. Flashing those lights. Again, I've said that many times. I thought, I know she sees me. Why is she not coming and getting in the car? Because this was a great place to be. I didn't understand. There was 7 to 8 was the time. And then after that, there was an hour of talking and hanging around and playing games and whatever. And that was a time for her to gather with her friends. But I was there just to pick her up and bring her home. So here it was Easter Sunday, 22 years ago. First time I walked through these doors, the prayer of faith. Now, we were on and off for a bit. I love the church. I love the people. I love the worship. And here we are. My point to all that was there was a point when I was able to grasp all He had done for us. And that's when I was able to express some sort of worship back to Him. Now, when I turned my life back over to God, there were no problems since then. Liar. It's important that we know that. When we worship, when we're obedient, that doesn't mean problems don't come. But God always provided. And He always protected. And He shielded me. He shielded Cindy, Spencer, Austin, Brittany. He shielded us from the things that we needed to be shielded from. I better get into some scripture here. I'll get in trouble. I'm sorry. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter John. What did I just say? Matthew, chapter, John? Did I say that? All right, if any of you watching online can tell me where Matthew, chapter, John is. That took a few seconds for me to connect that I said that. Did I really say that? Okay, I'm not even talking to Matthew today. John chapter 12. I looked right at it and said, Matthew chapter John. Oh. I love that we can laugh at ourselves every now and then. Better yet, I love that you can laugh at me. Oh, mercy. John chapter 12, verse 1. And get myself back together here. Good grief. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Now, just a little bit before, we had the story in John chapter 11. Where Lazarus had died. And Jesus was able to bring him back to life. So now he's sitting at the table. They made him supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Uh-oh. That's going to frustrate somebody. Here we go, verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him later, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. You know, out of the 12 disciples, God had to know what he was doing to say, I'm going to put all these different people in there. Oh, by the way, one's going to be a thief. And of all the people that are going to betray you, it's one of the 12. But Jesus said to everyone, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now it says in verse 9, now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Everybody knew about it in this area. They knew Lazarus has died, and lo and behold, this man that calls himself Jesus had brought him back to life, and everybody's talking about it. Verse 10, but the chief priest plotted to put Lazarus to death also. Why? Because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Does Mary grasp the gratitude and the magnitude of who and what Jesus was? She was brought to this act of worship. Much to the frustration of the one disciple who had betrayed Jesus. And again, not because he cared about the poor and wanted to give that money. If she's just wasting it, we could have had money in the box and it was more for me to steal. Jesus, let her alone. Let her alone. As we sang that last song, Jan made her way up here to worship in her way, based on what she was going through. Some people are waving hands. Some people are looking up to the heavens. Some people are looking down just in praise. Some people are singing and some people are just in silence. Worshiping in different ways. Mary was taken at some point by the presence of Jesus and poured that oil out to the frustration of some, but Jesus it pleased. He understood why. That was her form of worship. True worship doesn't always look at the cost or the time or the convenience of worshiping. Now's not the time. We were going to spend money on something else. It's getting kind of late. Maybe that's pretty early. Do you think? Maybe we could. True worship breaks down all those barriers. But Jesus told the Samaritan woman, the Father is seeking. He's looking for true worshipers. Turn in your Bibles. Let me see if I can get this one right. To Luke. Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. I got it right, but I didn't mark it in my Bible. Luke chapter 20, the very end of that, in verse 45. You always got to watch the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. He says, then in the hearing of all people, Jesus said to his disciples, beware of the scribes. At least he warned them. Why is that? Who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feast. Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. Oh. Okay. And I want to be careful if anyone's in politics or has relatives that are, but I look at it like politicians. Oh, we're out there meeting, greeting, doing those things. Hey, we look great. We're making a show. And then we go back and do our dirty work. I don't mean politicians all do dirty work. That came out wrong. I'll just leave that. Pretend I didn't say it. Anyway, scribes. Scribes, they go out there and they do all this fancy stuff in public where people see them and hear them. And then they go do these other things. And they desire all this selfish, self-centered stuff. And all I thought was that scripture we read last week. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts were far away. Mary took what she had. And she didn't say things like, oh man, if I ever win the lottery, I'll do this. Oh, if I ever had a big flask of fragrant oil, I'd pour it on you, Jesus. No, she did it in actuality through an act of worship. My God, I'm just so caught up in the presence of Jesus and who and what he is. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour this over him. Probably not realizing the symbolism of that as Jesus did. Now, as we go past that, Luke chapter 21. And he looked up and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in her two mites. And when the widow put in her two mites, Jesus said, Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. God says, I'm seeking true worshipers. Just like Mary, and just like the widow. He says, today I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. Moving past your feelings again and into your faith, and trust in the name that is above any other name. You see, our feelings say love, obedience, gratitude, trust, joy, and faith. When I feel those things, our feelings say, I will worship God. But if I'm not feeling loved or love for others, I withhold my worship. If I'm feeling or being disobedient, I don't worship Him the same way. If I'm not grateful for His provisions, if I'm not trusting in Him, if I'm not filled with joy, if I don't have faith of a mustard seed. Then I withhold my worship. But today He's praying, man, let me be the king of your heart. Let me have control of your heart, your mind, and your soul, and I will transform you today. For out of our heart flows an abundance of these things we mentioned, our feelings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today that we seek you in truth and in spirit. God, we pray today that we allow you to be the king of our heart. God, we pray today that we can just come before you worshiping you. Not just with lip service, but with true, tuned in hearts to you. That we want to align our heart with your will. God, you know what's best for us. God, you want what is best for us. God, we pray that we worship you from a clear mind. And a clean heart. A heart and mind that only you can purify. Cleansing us from all unrighteousness. All the evil things that filter through it, that clog it up. God, that you remove those things. Father, for you are so good to us. And I pray today that we release ourselves into your authority. Lord, whether it's giving of time, of resources, of money, of talents. God, that we can just worship you freely. Not worrying what anybody else thinks today. God, when we sing out to you, we do it because of our love for you that comes from your love of us. God, find us where we are today. Lead us out of the darkness that we may be in. Lead us out of a life that we may be lost in. Bring us to your presence. Bring us into your glory. Bring us into worship with you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.